Welcome
to a freshly baked episode of Windmill Slams Between Rounds.
Your weekly source of Dennis and Oisin content without any annoying Magic Online going on in the background.
I was going to say your weekly source of strictly functional Magic related topics.
It's totally fine. That can be the tagline.
I don't love it.
Between rounds, it's fine.
So we're going to open with our fan question this week.
Yeah, we figured we put it at the top.
Top of the show, which comes from Snoza Creeper. Mm-hmm. Who, and I'm going to summarize this, because he seems to have submitted a thesis to us.
Yeah, it's a really, like, most of the screen is currently taken up by this question. It's a good question.
I haven't checked. I would estimate it's about 14,000 words.
14,000 sounds about right.
It's basically asking, what could Wizards of the Coast do to create more incentive for players to buy into MTGO?
That's actually the first line of the question. You didn't summarize anything, you just read it verbatim.
Wait for it. He goes on to say that he himself is a paper player and has quite a large collection of paper cards, mm-hmm. and doesn't feel like switching to digital because he'd have to give up all the value, essentially, that he's put into that. Even though switching to digital would let him play more often whenever he wanted and stuff.
It is a really intimidating thing, starting to build a collection on Magic Online.
Essentially from scratch.
Yeah, and especially when you've been playing for a very long time, you put a lot of work and time into your paper collection, and knowing how much that took... Starting a second collection is scary.
Going the Dennis route, just don't have a collection.
Yeah, you had a collection. You sold most of it. Traded most of it.
Did I? What collection? I had my Commander deck.
Yeah, you had... No, as in... your Magic Online collection. I thought you were talking about your paper
collection. I don't have any paper collection.
You had, like, your lands and the...
I have draft commons.
Yeah. No, you had some, like, unhinged islands.
I got those as a gift from Reddit. Yeah. I do Reddit Secret Santa every year. And I don't know who it was, because it was secret. Kindly got me a bunch of signed Unhinged lands.
Yeah.
Which are pretty nice.
Very nice looking.
I have some Zendikar lands as well. Mm-hmm. I want to get one of the Zendikar islands blown up and put on my wall.
Oh yeah? Which one?
The good one.
Okay.
Anyway, back to the fan question.
Yeah.
What do you think Wizards could do to further incentivize people to play Magic online?
It's a difficult one. Mm-hmm. It's a really difficult one because there's no good way to go, oh, you have all these paper cards? Start over. And... You can't just hand people who start playing Magic Online a bunch of free cards. Mm-hmm. You can't do that. I mean, they do
hand them some free cards.
They hand them, like, what is it, two of every uncommon and three of every common or something like that from the latest core set or something along like those lines. And you get a couple... Do you get a free draft? I don't remember.
You get new player tickets for new player drafts.
Do you keep the cards from those? Are they phantom?
I think they are phantom. I think there are prizes, though.
But yeah, it is, like, you do have to invest actual money in it.
Well, the big thing people keep suggesting is what they do for Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's Pokemon. Where when you buy a pack of cards and you open it, there is a code on one of the cards in the pack that you enter in and you get that pack on the online client.
Okay.
Now, getting that specific pack would require Wizards to track what cards go into individual every single pack.
Which is not a good place
to be.
Which
is very expensive for them and makes box mapping, I think, a big deal as well. Mm-hmm. Kind of worse.
Yeah.
What they could do is...
Actually... Weird little anecdote that I just remembered now. I had, when I was, I must have been like 8,
mm-hmm.
on the Game Boy Color.
This is like 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah, on the Game Boy Color, I had a Yu-Gi-Oh! Game.
I have that game too. Is it Yu-Gi-Oh! Worldwide Edition?
Possibly. You walk around, it's like a little JRPG, but instead of fighting people, you play Yu-Gi-Oh! Against
them.
But if you had a card... A physical Yu-Gi-Oh! Card. They all had a little code on the bottom.
You put the serial number, yeah.
And you got the card in the game.
You know there's the massive flaw in that, right?
What?
You can just Google all of the card codes?
Yeah. And this is a single-player game. It's entirely...
So whatever.
Yeah, it's just kind of an aside.
But people have suggested that. And I don't see why, one in every 50, one in every 100 packs of physical boosters couldn't have a card that says, hey, redeem this on Magic Online for a free draft.
Or free booster.
Free booster.
Something.
Or a ticket. Give me a ticket.
Yeah, there's currently zero, like, other than Full Set Redemption, there's no bridge between...
Which is being sort of phased out. The fee went up from $5 to $25,
yeah.
And Modern Masters can't even be fully... can be redeemed.
And there's no bridge between the online collection, the online play, and the paper play.
Yeah, for 99.9% of players, they're completely separate entities.
Exactly.
And we're pretty good actual examples of that, in that you don't play online at all, and I don't play paper at all.
Yeah, and the only experience we have with the other is playing with each other.
Yeah.
Like, I play Magic Online when I'm with Dennis. Dennis plays Paper Magic occasionally with me. We haven't played in ages, but we're thinking of doing a bit of heads-up cube drafting, mm-hmm. later on. Now, what was the question? I feel like we've got...
What could Wizards do to make it better?
To create an incentive.
To drag people in.
Well, this is the thing. Like, you want to be able to bridge the online experience with the paper experience.
You want to convert paper players to digital.
For example, something that I don't understand why they don't do it. Why can't you link your DCI number to your Magic Online account? Why can't you earn Planeswalker points playing Magic Online?
I'd be a pro by now if I could do that.
Exactly. I mean, I guess they want people to go to actual paper events, so put a multiplier on paper events, you know? Yeah. Why is it a separate thing?
Why doesn't every booster pack of Magic Cards come with an event ticket that you can do on Magic Online?
That also makes sense.
Because that is a drop in the bucket in terms of value. Mm-hmm. You need 14 of those to enter a draft, or, you know,
ish.
10 or 11 if you want to trade and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, and, you know, the vast majority of them would never be redeemed. But I cannot tell you how much of a difference that would make to even me. Like, the amount of drafts that I would go to weekly would increase from zero to, you know, a good at least one or two.
Because they come with 3 tickets.
Because I'm like, hey, this is like a nice little thing. This is exciting. I get to go home and get to put in my little codes and get my tickets.
So just, I think the biggest way they could do it is some sort of bridge. Some sort of linking your paper play with your online play.
You know those ad cards that you get in packs?
Why don't they just have a code on them?
That say, you know, go check out Magic Online.
Yeah.
Go check out Magic Online. Here's, you know, a new player ticket.
Mm-hmm.
Or here's 3 tickets or 5 tickets or, you know.
Something.
Now, that might... Those would probably be worth something.
At that stage, they would, yeah.
Which is interesting, but I really think that that would do wonders. Because if you pick up a thing and you go, oh yeah, Magic Online, I don't play that. You go, oh, but I get a free thing.
Mm.
You know? It's the same reason, like, poker websites and stuff are like, join and we'll give you a free $10.
Yep.
You know? Or
no, we we know about poker websites. Dennis and I have had an interesting day. It's a quick aside.
Dennis
convinced me to play some online poker the last time I was at his house. So I bought in for
$20
and 3 cents because I had to do the awkward conversion from euros to dollars. And
oh shit, how much money do you have left in your PokerStars account?
I have 3 cents.
There you go. So
I left Dennis's house about $7 up, and then you came over today and we played a bit, and I did.
It's all gone. So you guys can do the maths in between from 27 to
how much money to zero. Did I lose? Yeah.
But I don't see why they don't. I feel like that would be an excellent thing to do.
Yeah.
Just to convert some of those players. You know, because...
If you go to a paper draft... It doesn't help with the collection thing. I don't think there's a way to properly manage that. And in a way, there maybe shouldn't be.
Right. You can't merge them without devaluing one or the other.
Exactly.
Like, either...
You can't really have reverse redemption either.
No.
Because the cards are going to be in worse condition.
Yeah, so you can't submit all your cards and stuff. For those who don't know, redemption is if you own one of every card in a set. So, say you own every single card in Fate Reforged.
One of them.
Or more. Doesn't really matter. You can redeem those, so you pay... Now you pay $25.
Plus shipping, I believe?
I think so.
I've never actually redeemed.
But and what happens is those get all subtracted from Magic Online account, and you get them in the post as physical cards.
Yeah.
But obviously there's no system to go the other way because cards are... of different playability and stuff.
And what would Wizards do with all these physical cards they're being sent, you know?
And as much as Snows of Creeps is saying that that's what's barring him, I don't really think that's the issue. I think Magic's a good enough game, and it's an interesting enough game and concept, that if you just create a functional client that's fun to play and has good prize payouts, Magic, the game of Magic will do the rest itself.
I'm very interested to see what happens with Duel's Origins. In terms of...
Right. Yeah, the game.
Because Magic Online as a system, I think we can mostly agree, is flawed.
Do you mean inherently in its concept, or like...
I mean the back-end code. I mean the legacy issue.
Oh, right.
Not the legacy, the format issue. I mean
the fact that the code...
For anybody who's like doing computer science, there's code that they can't really change without starting from scratch. You know, how the games are handled, how the cards are handled, this kind of thing. It's outdated. And they can't do it, they can't change anything without a complete overhaul. Which I think they should just do. But that's expensive, and if they're still making money off Magic Online, then there's no reason from a business perspective for them to do it.
Let's roleplay with me, Ashin.
Yeah.
I am a Magic Online executive.
Okay. I am a developer.
I am Smorth Smolpert.
Smorth Smolpert.
Digital project manager.
Okay.
I don't think this would be his job. But anyway, I'm an executive.
Yeah.
I want you to come to me as a programmer.
No. You be Worth. Smurth.
Right.
I'll be your boss in Hasbro.
Right, okay, gotcha.
Okay. Hey. I'm the guy who's doing... I'm the guy crunching the numbers. I'm the guy who cares if we're making money, not if the players are having fun.
Right. Hey, Mr. Ashin.
Yeah.
For the next quarter, I would really like an extra $200,000 for Magic Online.
$200,000? Why? Are your profits down?
No, they're actually higher than ever.
Get the hell out of my office.
There you go.
Okay. Problem.
Now, I don't know if they're higher than ever right now.
Yeah.
What we just did there is a joke that I used to make all the time.
Yeah.
But I think that is becoming less true.
And maybe at some point they'll spot that and address it, and that would be good. But I mentioned Jules Origins.
Yeah.
That's a space where they can go start from scratch.
Do you think Jules Origins is going to come out? They're going to exist parallel for a while, and then they're going to phase out Magic Online?
I wouldn't say that. I think it's going to be a very different experience.
Well, it's free to play.
Exactly. But like, look at something like Hearthstone.
The juggernaut.
Yeah. This is the obvious comparison to make. It's had a meteoric rise. You know, it's very, very popular. It caters to a lot of the same audiences. But it's just so lightweight. Mm-hmm. You know? And they have that kind of flexibility to change things as they go.
Case in point, how much Hearthstone did you play 2 months ago?
2 months ago, literally none.
How much did you play since I told you you could get on your phone?
I have played...
You got to rank 5 last
season. I've got to rank 5 last season, yeah.
Which is, for those of you who don't know, probably about the top 15% of players?
Rank 5, I believe, is the top 2.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
And a lot of that has to do with how often you played.
Yeah, I was playing easily an hour or two a day.
Every single time I hung out with you that we weren't playing Magic, you were sitting on your phone playing Hearthstone.
Yeah, no, I mean...
Sometimes you did it during the rounds we played.
I have done that, yeah, I have done that.
Which, much to my chagrin.
Yeah, yeah.
But, if you can make Magic as sort of free and lightweight,
yeah,
and easy.
Now, it's not catering to the same market. You can't, like, say they launch Jules Origins, you've got a limited card pool, then you're not going to be able to go on and play Legacy.
Right.
You're not going to be able to play your favorite Vintage deck.
Play Sealed, though.
Mm-hmm.
You can play Draft.
Yep.
The issue with Draft now is the Draft experiences are crafted around a pod.
Mm-hmm.
So...
And it's, like, for anyone who's ever used Smokotrice or... Yeah.
Or Smexmage.
Smexmage.
Yeah, it's grim. So like, it's crafted around a pod. So yeah. When the 8 of us sit down to draft, we're going to be there for 3 hours.
Yeah.
While we draft and play out the rounds and everything. And everyone's waiting for everybody else to finish playing. That doesn't happen in Hearthstone.
It doesn't happen in a free-to-play game.
No.
Because once I've invested the amount of time, say I lose the first round, there's no reason for me to stick
with it. Well, it's not going to be free-to-play like that. It's going to be free-to-play like Hearthstone.
Yeah, Arena follows a nice model like that, but it's not the same thing as a Magic Draft.
Yeah, because you don't have to play with the same people.
Arena feels much more like a sealed league than it does like a...
Which, incidentally, are coming back to Magic Online.
Which, you know, might do good things.
Which would be great.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of fills that gap of what are you supposed to do between rounds,
mm.
except for listen to a podcast.
Yeah.
So I think the big things that they could do is make it more accessible by trying to link the paper experience...
Mm-hmm.
By, you know, putting tickets in them in booster packs, yep. or, you know, free cards in booster packs. Or if maybe if you open a mythic, you also get that mythic online.
That would be kind of cool.
You know, that devalues mythics online a little bit, but whatever.
Yep.
What else could they do? They can increase prize payouts. That's a problem right now. Which is alternate prize payouts. So,
well, the problem with the prize payouts at the moment, Wizards haven't actually changed their prize payout. What's happened is the Magic Online economy has just tanked.
Well, the part of that is because drafting is limited as popular.
Mm.
And people who play limited, like myself,
mm-hmm.
open a bunch of packs, and we also get rewarded a bunch of packs.
Yep.
And what happens is that drives the price of packs down and down and down and down and down, because mm-hmm. the market just gets saturated with them.
Yep. Which makes constructed tournaments not
because constructed profitable. Tournaments also pay in packs. Yeah.
Yep.
So they're completely not, they're terrible, terrible EV
yep.
at the moment. So what people are suggesting is why can't they pay out in tickets?
Now the issue there is you start getting into a play money scenario.
But yeah, but which is... Legal,
but a very different thing to prize payouts.
That's true. You were under the impression this was illegal.
I'm not sure, because there's a weird thing with tickets where, like, if they're tradable currency, I think at that point it's gambling. Like, I don't know if it's legal tender or if it's, like, if they're paying it in Bitcoin, would that be legal?
Bitcoin has value.
Mm. As to tickets, you can buy tickets, you can sell tickets.
But I mean, you can buy play money on PokerStars.
I think,
and play in states where gambling online is illegal.
I mean, yes, but like
you can't cash it out.
You can, and you can through entirely above board channels cash out tickets.
No, you can't.
You can redeem sets, which you can obtain with tickets.
But they don't have inherent value. You can then sell those cards for value.
Exactly.
I think that's too many steps removed to count as genuine value.
Right.
You can much more easily, you know, sell your tickets to schmempty schmo traders.
Yeah.
You know, or I think even Schmal Schmeierfall actually will
can
buy
you, can
I
you sell tickets to Schmal Schmeierfall?
I think Schmal Schmeierfall actually do buy tickets. But I know schmempty schmo traders do.
Yeah.
And they're a big deal.
Yeah.
And I sell tickets to them, and I don't think MTG Academy buy tickets.
No.
But they do sell tickets. Mm-hmm. And GoatBots sell tickets. And MTGO Traders sell tickets. And all that stuff. And I don't think that's actually allowed. Off the top of my head, I don't think that's allowed within the terms of service.
I have no idea.
But Wizards has made no effort. If it isn't, the Wizards have made no effort to really crack down on that.
No. You and know? There's no real reason for them to.
But you think that if I buy into an event with tickets and that same event pays out in tickets, that could constitute gambling?
I believe that is closer to constituting that
gambling. It is certainly closer. It's certainly closer.
I think there's legal areas around that I'm not sure how it works.
It's certainly closer.
If it's something that they can look into, it's something they should look into.
Now, people suggested store credit, which I think is an even worse step than tickets. In that
well, tickets are store credit, aren't they?
No, I can't use tickets to buy Commander deck.
Oh, okay.
You know? Or from the vault.
Sure.
I could use them to trade for those things, though.
Yeah. Well, I don't actually know. It's... In terms of the prize payouts, that's something that Wizards has to look at more closely. And
prize payouts should be closer to, and I hate to say it again, Hearthstone's arena payouts, where they have that little degree of randomness.
I don't think that's a good idea.
I think it is a good idea. Now, I think it's a good idea for some...
I think there's already enough randomness in that the contents of the packs are random.
I don't think I mean it for limited. I think I mean it for constructed.
Okay.
I think say you
I
do
still a, don't necessarily
I think say
agree
a
with constru- that.
I think say a constructed two man could nah, if
I'm no, I don't think I don't think you want to be randomizing it.
I think the best case scenario is it just pays out in tickets.
Mm.
It probably is. And if that isn't a legal issue, I think that would be the best thing to do for them.
Cuz 90% of people when they get their pack payout sells those for tickets to a bot trader
or use it to enter another draft.
Yeah. So it would be, like, 90% of the time the same experience. And if people wanted to then use their tickets to buy packs, to open packs,
or
to get cards.
Or singles to play constructed.
Exactly. And, I mean, people trade packs for tickets to buy tickets to play constructed.
Yeah, so. I think that... So we spent 20 minutes almost on that first question.
Move on.
I think linking paper to Magic by putting, you know, little incentives and booster packs would be nice. Having a sort of more flexible prize payout.
Yeah.
Like, could you imagine... This. Say you could, now you could, technically there are ways you can do this now, but say you could trade in event tickets to get one of those little Funko Pop Planeswalker figurines sent to you in the mail.
That's cute.
That would be great.
Yeah.
Currently, you can sell your tickets on Amazon or whatever just buy one of those things.
Mm.
But it'd be so nice. Like
sort of like the
prize walls.
Ticket payout at GP, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That'd be great.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know how that works out legally in terms of gambling.
I have absolutely no idea.
I know Wizards have a hard time in any case, like, separating themselves from gambling.
For example, it's very difficult to run a Magic tournament with cash payouts in Germany.
Germany, yeah.
As a big example, because Germany have very, very strict and very, very well-defined gambling laws.
Gambling's just legal here, isn't it?
In Ireland? Yeah.
There's like three casinos
casino
where I live.
The street. Yeah.
There's a casino down the street?
Well, I'm talking about in Bray, like.
Oh, that's down the street from me, all right?
Yeah. Cool.
I was there today. I put €1 into a blackjack machine.
How did it go?
I don't have €1 anymore. You paid for my dinner. How do you think it went?
Yeah.
But, I think marrying the two experiences has a lot to do with getting a more incentivizing, a funner, not a word, a more fun feel, like, with, like, nice little, different prizes and stuff. Because right now, Magic Online sometimes feels like having a job.
It's very grindy.
Yeah.
As it stands.
And I don't know if that's good for it.
Now, obviously, the big difference and the reason it's not they're not really comparable is Hearthstone doesn't have a secondary market because you can't trade cards.
Right.
So payouts are strictly for your own enjoyment, prize payouts. So it's less of a big deal that it's randomized.
Well, maybe duels won't have one.
Maybe. None of the duels so far have had trading systems.
Yeah.
I'm
excited for duels.
I it looks promising.
Do you think in the future this might be a duels-only channel?
I would doubt it. I think Jules is going to be a much more casual experience.
Mm-hmm.
But I think,
and we as you know, we are hardcore pros.
Well, we're catering to people who want to.
No, we're not. You're going to say get better at Magic, weren't
no,
you?
No, we're really not. We're catering to people who want to have a good time.
We're catering to people who, for some reason or another, find us charming enough that they want to listen to us ramble about making Magic Online better for 18 minutes.
Sure. Will we talk about something else then?
Yeah. What was next on our agenda?
We have notes. Oh, yeah, you want to talk about Modern Masters as a draft format.
A lot of Modern Masters 2015.
I have played two drafts.
The ones that we have filmed?
Yes.
Great. did you just go for a smoke? Like, I like it a lot.
How many drafts on a bleh.
We,
do you want to cut that out?
Yeah.
How many drafts would you say you've done so far?
A dozen, maybe?
Okay.
Which is far above the average amount, I think, for Modern Masters.
Sure.
Because in paper, people don't do tend to do more than one or two.
Yeah.
I think I've done maybe 12 or 14. And I'm not prepared to say whether it's a better or worse format than the first Modern Masters.
I really enjoyed the first Modern Masters as a draft format.
This is different. Mm-hmm. It is certainly different, and it's different in a lateral kind of way, not in a better or worse kind of way.
Okay.
It's much less archetypal.
Is it?
Yes.
Okay.
Archetypes still exist, but like, you know...
In your 12 drafts, have you tried many archetypes, or have you been sticking to a couple?
I've played Affinity, I've played Bloodthirst, I've played Spirits, I've played Five Color Ramp, I've played Just Green Ramp, I've played Elementals, I've played Green-White Tokens and Green-Black Tokens, I've played Green-Black Sacrifice... the only thing I haven't really tried is like...
The red-white auras.
And I've played that actually.
Red-white equipment.
Is the blue-black control deck, okay. Which isn't really a thing. It's just kind of a pile of blue and black cards. But I think it's certainly much closer to something like Dragons of Tarkir.
Which is just placing...
You know, there's some cards like, you know, black-white deck in Dragons of Tarkir only looks so different from another black-white deck.
I mean, black-white and Dragons is Warriors.
Yeah, but that's not they don't... So yeah, that's what I mean. They're going to look different-ish, but they're going to be pretty similar. Whereas in Modern Masters 1,
mm-hmm.
all of the Fairies decks pretty much look the same, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, some of them are better than others.
Yeah.
Whereas I think Spirit decks might look the same, but there are Black-White decks that aren't Spirits. We drafted one the other day, didn't we?
No, we went Spirits in the end.
Oh yeah. It's a poor example. But I'm enjoying it a lot. I don't think it has the same sort of allure about it that the first Modern Masters did for me.
Sure.
Like, when I used to enter Modern Master draft, that felt like a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
This one doesn't as much. It feels like I'm just overpaying for a normal draft experience.
Right.
It doesn't... I don't get...
So does that take away from your...
enjoyment of it? Mm. A little bit, and this is going to sound dumb, but it's mostly because Cloud Goat Ranger is not in the set.
Really?
I really like that card.
Okay.
Opening that card, even when I'm in red-black and I can't play it, just puts a smile on my face.
Okay.
Because it makes no fucking sense.
What do you mean?
It's a shepherd.
Yeah.
That's a giant.
Yeah.
That has little soldiers with him.
Yeah.
That make him fly.
Mm-hmm.
Enlighten me. What? What?
I think...
But he's got goats.
I think you summed it up pretty well.
He's got goats, and he makes small tokens that aren't goats. They're not goat tokens.
They're Kithkin.
They're Kithkin. Why are they Kithkin?
Because he's a...
He's a giant.
He's a giant. Hmm.
Kithkins and giants have some synergy.
Yeah.
Also, why? Let's not get into that right now. This is...
In the same way that rhinos and the toothpick birds have synergy.
Sure. Am I expected to believe that this is a giant that summons three tiny Kithkins, which are essentially like dwarves, aren't they?
I think the closest parallel is like Irish fairies.
Am I expected to believe that the three of them throw the giant into the air?
Look, I think you've summed it up pretty effectively.
Anyway, the card makes me endlessly happy.
Okay.
And there's obviously some more notable exceptions from the set, like, you know, Damnation or whatever, who gives a shit.
Yeah.
But,
That's not something that you're interested in for the limited experience.
No, the limited experience, I think, as I've talked it out now, might be a little less fun than it was the first time around in Modern Masters 2015.
Okay.
But I still like it quite a bit. It feels like a more of a normal set than a big flashy thing.
Do you have a favourite archetype? Not necessarily the one you think is the best, but the one you've had the most fun with.
The one I have the most fun with... is silly.
Oh, five color stuff
that I made you draft.
Five color good stuff.
If you haven't seen that, well, you probably have if you listen to this. It's on our channel at Trainwreck Draft.
Yeah,
and it was a lot of fun. We played a turn four Unamog.
We did no Unamog Crusher. Careful. Sorry. We played a turn four Crusher. Yeah, that did happen.
That was pretty good.
Twice.
Yeah.
Not that we did that twice. That we played the Crusher twice. Yeah, it was good.
You're not too fond of it. Although, to be honest,
I've only done two drafts.
I don't think you're too fond of limited as of late.
That's...
How many drafts have you done in the past 6 months that weren't with me?
Okay, well, in the past 6 months, when I was in college, I was drafting once a week.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for the invite.
In paper. You were invited every single week.
Shit, sorry. In that case, sorry for not going.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I used to draft once a week in college. So I guess lots. I don't play Magic Online anymore.
Right.
Not outside of recording these videos. One, because I can't really afford it at the moment. Like that's one big barrier.
Fair.
Costs too much money, and I'm not that good a limited player to go infinite.
Right.
And another reason is just I got really frustrated with the Magic Online experience. My computer isn't the best at handling Magic
Online. You have a tiny little laptop that detaches into a tablet.
It doesn't detach, no.
Was that the problem? Is that why?
No, it's just...
I thought it had
a touchscreen, but it wouldn't detach. Why are we doing a tech review?
All right. How do you know what it's called? I wouldn't call this a tech review.
Yeah, no, it's a tiny little laptop. Copyright. It's... Yeah. So I just found the experience very frustrating. It wasn't working properly, and yeah, I just wasn't enjoying it as much.
So you've fallen off the wagon.
So yeah, I've kind of stopped playing Magic Online altogether, really.
So you were talking about it not having, you not having enough money to go, you not being able to go infinite on it.
Okay, is this one of Dennis Stranyak's world famous segues?
So to go infinite.
Let me give you a minute.
So a big part of going infinite,
yeah,
is taking cards that are worth a certain amount over a card that would necessarily be better in your deck.
I guess I never thought of it that way, Dennis. So, can you think of an example of a situation in which you might do that?
So, stick with me.
Okay.
Imagine your name is Schmaskal Schmaynard.
I'm getting into character now.
Okay. But you can do a French accent. I don't know if he's French.
I don't know.
I don't think he is, actually.
I don't.
And you open. You're at the top end of a GP.
Yeah.
And
I'm in the top end of a GP.
Yeah,
congratulations. God, I must be pretty good.
Well, you know. You're still you. Don't get ahead of yourself.
I thought I was Schmaskal Schmaynard.
Anyway, you open a foil.
We can say his name.
Schmarmagoyf.
We can say his name.
Pascal Maynard.
Pascal Maynard and Schmarmagoyf.
Yeah. You open a foil Schmarmagoyf.
Yeah.
Or you could take a Burst Lightning.
Assume, like, so am I in a deck in which I would like a Burst Lightning?
Yes, you would quite like a Burst Lightning. Actually.
Would a Burst Lightning be a very good addition to my deck?
It'd be a solid, more than solid addition, I'd say. Okay. Pretty good, yeah.
And I'm not in a deck where I'm considering playing a Schmarmagoyf.
No, absolutely not.
Okay. But there's a foil Schmarmagoyf.
Foil Schmarmagoyf runs somewhere in the range of $500 to $600 normally.
Okay. So the question is, I'm in the top eight of the GP, would I take? So, for those of you who haven't caught on yet, we are talking about an actual thing that happened. Most of you probably have heard about this.
Right.
People are calling it Goifgate, which I find quite funny. Pascal Maynard, top eight of GP Las Vegas. He's in his top eight draft. I believe he's in red, white, double strike, that deck, the equipment deck.
I think so.
Burst Lightning comes up. The choice is between Burst Lightning or foil Schmarmagoyf, and I read his article about it. He reckons it was in the heat of the moment. Not really thinking clearly.
Would he change his mind if he got the chance?
I don't want to quote him out of context, but I believe he said, having thought about it, he believes he made a mistake. Mm. And he goes into detail on that. I might cover that later. But he took the foil Schmarmagoyf over the Burst Lightning. Now, fully aware that he was
rare draft.
He was a featured drafter. This is why everyone knows about this.
Right.
He shows the camera the Burst Lightning, indicating he believes that this is the correct pick, and then puts the foil Schmarmagoyf into his pile.
Mm-hmm.
The Schmarmagoyf in question, he put on eBay.
Yep.
And has promised half of the profits to John Finkel's organization, Gamers Helping Gamers, which provides
college scholarships
to gamers who have,
I think, financial difficulties is the appropriate way to say that.
Yeah,
but I don't think it actually. There's some deals with like people bidding amounts and not paying them and stuff like that. But that's not really the crux of the issue. Is what do you think about picking the foil Schmarmagoyf over the Burst Lightning?
Now, okay, so in a lot of people got quite angry, quite vocally angry.
Right.
I won't name names.
Sloan Schmertenwald and William Schmooey Schwensen.
Dennis is gonna shame.
And who else was it? Schmied Schmook, I think?
Sorry?
Schmied Schmook. Reed Duke.
Oh, okay. You entirely lost me there. I thought that was a character.
I was too good at it. Yes. Okay.
People got quite vocally angry with him about
it. On Shitter.
On Twitter. And basically calling into question his integrity as a pro player, which is, I think, a bit harsh. I don't think you can fault a guy for making a decision like that. But I guess the argument being made was, and I believe he addressed this, like, if you want to call yourself a professional Magic player, then your aim should be, like, he needed to come first or second in that GP to qualify for the Pro Tour.
Mm-hmm.
No, it wasn't. It was to get platinum status or something like that. It was important for him. He top eighted. It was important for him to come first or second in terms of the pro points available. And his critics were saying that it was damaging to his integrity as a pro player for him to rare draft in that situation. He should be taking every percentage point to try and get to that position.
Well, let me give you an example now.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to imagine you're Tiger Woods, okay?
Okay.
And you swing your golf club at your golf ball. I'm running it. I don't know much about golf. Swing golf club, your golf ball.
Swing my golf club at my golf ball.
Yeah, okay. your driver.
My iron.
Yeah, sure.
Trying to get it into the net.
Into the net, yeah.
And score a goal.
But you have to make sure you get it past the seeker.
Yeah.
And then, so the golf ball goes into the woods, right?
It goes into the woods.
Okay. And the whole people watching you, and you realize that your golf ball has landed on a stack of $5 million United States dollars.
Okay.
And you can't touch the golf ball because that's cheating and you get squalored from the tournament.
Sure.
To pick up the money.
Yeah.
But if you hit the golf ball, you will rip the money to shreds because it's one single $5 million bill.
Okay. Can we just pretend, like, can we take a different example?
No. Nope.
Can we pretend that you're in the top 8 of a GP and you open a foil Tarmogoyf in your draft?
No.
What is this example?
It's like the extreme.
Okay.
There must be an amount of money that is worth taking. Because if there is an amount of money that's worth taking, that means the integrity of the game is already in question. Because a pro player, he wants to achieve platinum because platinum gets him appearance fees and travel pay, which is all that money.
Yeah.
So taking the money card, like
platinum. I mean, it's not all about money. There's a certain amount of
prestige associated with
prestige, your honor, or whatever you feel.
Pride.
Yeah, associated with being in, say, the Hall of Fame.
Okay, well, let's say
he doesn't get platinum status and he doesn't get onto the next Pro Tour.
I think let's revoke all benefits that being a platinum player gets and see how many people care about getting platinum after that.
I mean, I wanted to get the legend rank in Hearthstone last month.
Yeah, but that's analogous to getting a rating over 2,000 Magic Online.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean anything. You don't get to cash out money for that.
No.
So
that's what I'm saying.
And people are playing Magic because they like playing it, but they're playing to win. They're playing to win to get prizes, and the prizes are money.
Okay.
The prize for first place of that GP, incidentally, was $4,000.
By the way, the foil Tarmogoyf on eBay, last I checked, was something like $16,000.
It finished over 20,000, but there's like a thing about the guy not paying and yada.
Okay,
but that's getting too far away from it. The reason for that is that it's a one of a kind Tarmogoyf because it's stamped,
right?
So you know that that's the one that has all of this, story behind it.
Yeah, it's the Tiger Woods golf club in your analogy.
Yeah. If you're Tiger Woods in that situation, do you screw the ball out of the way and pick up the $5 million?
Now, this is the question. Like, it's about...
And then go cheat on your wife or whatever? And she, like, smashes up your car or something?
God!
I don't know.
Stop. Too topical.
Not really. Too topical. It's like 3 years ago. Yeah.
I don't know. I think at that kind of scale, it
the
has
top to... 8 of the PGA? Yeah. Is that a golf thing?
I don't know.
Pro golf?
At that...
Association, maybe? PGA Tour?
At these kind of scales, you just have to... You honestly just have to decide what's important to you at the time. Take a smaller example from, say we're drafting, and there was like a Daybreak Coronet in one of our drafts when we were doing Modern Masters. There was a Daybreak Coronet. We opened the Daybreak Coronet.
Right.
We were never going to play the stupid Daybreak Coronet, and there was something else in the pack that was quite good.
Sure.
I don't remember what it was. What you have to decide on is the amount of money that this card is worth, right? The Daybreak Coronet at the time was $6, right? And I don't remember what the alternative was. Let's, for example, say it was a Burst Lightning, right?
Right.
Smaller case example, right?
You and I are drafting Magic Online at the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and the payout's like a 6-2-2-2 or something.
Bottom of the ninth, okay.
Right. The question is that six tickets? Is the six tickets the Daybreak Coronet, is that Burst Lightning going to add six tickets of expected value to my draft deck?
Yeah, the question people are asking Pascal is, if I came up to you, if the head judge came up to you after the draft and said, if you give me $400 or $600, I'll let you put this Burst Lightning in your deck that you didn't draft.
Yeah.
Would you take that deal? The answer, I think, is probably no.
Probably no.
Personally, I think it's probably no. Now, it depends. At the end of the day, it comes down to what Pascal wants to do, or whoever the person happens to be wants to do at that time. And it's so individualized and so dependent on the person's financial circumstances and what they're playing the game for and what they want to achieve that I think debating about it is kind of silly.
Yeah.
And calling him out on Twitter or whatever is a little childish, in fact. Like, saying that's bad for the integrity of the game and yada yada. It's a card game.
Yeah.
It's a card game where we...
And the point is, like...
Listen.
Yeah.
It's a card game where I play goblins and you play ogres. And ooh, I threw a firebolt at your ogre. You know, it's... Come on. It's a card... Like, I know there's a lot of money and it means a lot of people. And I love it. And it's a great big part of my life. But it's still a card game.
And an important part, like, it's a collectible card game.
Right.
A part of the game is about collecting the cards.
Mm-hmm.
And the cards have monetary value. They have... You know, you can trade them and buy them and sell them. And that's important to the game. It's important to the quality of the game.
Right.
And having, you know, so that should be a thing that factors into your decision making when you are playing the game.
I think it's too individualized.
Yeah.
I think me picking the Goyf might be correct, you picking it might not be, Pascal picking it may or may not be.
But that's up to him.
And I don't think, because there's so much personal stake in that, I don't think it's fair to criticize him on his decision. Now, you can debate it, and people did. There's, you know, thousands of comments about it on Reddit or whatever.
Yeah.
But I don't think there's an absolute truth here.
No.
At all.
What do you think about rare drafting in general?
Fine. If you want to go and pick your rares at the draft, whatever. You paid your packs in.
Yeah.
Do I think it's objectively correct? Maybe not. Do I think it, like, muddies the draft experience a little bit? Probably.
Mm. We've done Phantom Drafts in the past, and like, we were playing a Phantom Draft
of Modern Masters.
Yeah, and it was, I think we took the Noble Hierarch because it was just probably a good card.
Yeah, we got like a Splinter Twin, like, 10th pick, because it's a pile of crap and limited.
Exactly, but it's worth...
It's actually not that bad.
Yeah. It's worth some Manth tickets.
Right.
But yeah, the question is, do you want to take that card?
My personal cutoff when drafting on Magic Online is somewhere between 4 and 4.5 tickets, which is higher than most people's.
Yeah.
But I, as value obsessed as I am, as much as I like to wring money out of things, I would like to, you know, have a fun time, and picking the foil Kozilek or whatever only means so much to me when I'd much rather, you know, pick up my 5th Thief of Hope because it's going to be a sick deck.
Yeah.
You know?
When you play in paper drafts, the few times you have, say, like, how many paper drafts would you say you do generally? Say in a year. How many times would you go down to your LGS?
4? Okay. 3, maybe? Okay. But the number of drafts I do over the course of the year is in the hundreds.
Yeah, exactly. So, the reason I'm asking about paper is because this thing I'm about to bring up isn't a thing on Magic Online,
right.
But redrafting rares.
Right.
Sometimes when you are playing in a shop, like, a common thing to do is to say, we'll do the draft, and then at the end, put all the rares on the table, draft them in order of standings.
So whoever won the draft gets to pick, presumably, the most valuable rare out of them.
Mm-hmm. Or the one they want.
Or the one they want, or whatever.
And that creates a little bit more of an authentic experience, because you don't have to... Say you see the foil Tarmogoyf, you're like, well, that doesn't go on my deck, so I'll just make the best decision I can make and try and win it.
I appreciate the point you're trying to make, but if I see a foil Tarmogoyf, I'm going home.
Okay, yeah.
$600.
Yeah.
There was a time you sold a Black Lotus for a couple hundred euro. At the Pro Tour.
It was more than a couple hundred.
No, it wasn't great. It was signed and stuff. It wasn't in great condition.
Yeah, it was still more money than I'm going to talk about on a podcast.
That's right. Oshin sold some very old cards for a more than substantial amount of money.
Yeah.
At Pro Tour Theros.
Yeah.
And... You put this, the guy, the cashier there, the guy who was doing the training, gave you the money in cash.
Because there was no other way
to do it. Yeah, and then you put it in a deck box.
Oh God, that was the and most looked, terrifying
and,
experience.
And you looked at it, and you looked at me and you were like, I think I'm probably going to go home. And I was like, yeah, right. So I went and I, you know, I talked to LSV and I chatted to
I just clung to this deck box on the bus. Like,
it was a lot of money to be carrying in a little plastic box. But I like rare drafting in draft.
Okay.
Yeah, it doesn't mean that much to me because I don't put any stock in my
collection,
my physical collection,
yeah,
or even in the value of physical cards.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I sold a foil Nissa for 40 euro online when I got it in the draft. Yeah. That was cool, but you know, it doesn't mean anything to me.
Okay,
So I don't think I'm the best person to ask, but I appreciate what it's trying to do by making a more authentic experience and everything. And it's a little bit of additional prize support.
Yeah.
You know, in some places, it's unfortunately the only prize support.
When we do our drafts, it's the only prize support, but we do charge 7 quid for the drafts.
Which is far, far less than...
It's about half what you'd pay in a shop.
Yeah, usually about 13 and a half, 14 euro. Yeah. So, I think we're close to time now.
We've been going for a while. Spoilers, we're not actually recording this between rounds of a draft because we didn't feel like doing it when we were recording the draft. So Dennis came over today. We had some Chinese food and some beers.
It's a different day.
Yeah, no. We recorded on...
3 days ago.
Yeah. So Dennis is now here and we've just had a little evening in together.
Pretty much. We got takeaway. We played some games.
Yeah, and now we're going to...
Actually, it's getting me liquored up.
I am. I'm, there's beers everywhere.
We're going to hold our penises. He's going to ask me that he hears someone's been playing Kaijudo lately. We'll throw back to how so I've been Dennis.
I've been Oshin.
Please submit your questions again and then we'll answer them just like we did at the start with Snows of Creeper.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for listening and we'll see you next time.